Okay, sorry about that. So today's scripture reading can be found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is God's word. So we're doing a short series on the works of the Holy Spirit. And my reason for doing this series is to acknowledge the central role that the Holy Spirit has in our hearts and in our lives. I feel that many people in the church are like those disciples that Paul met in Acts 19. So the story is told in Acts 19 of how Paul met certain disciples. And he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they replied, "No, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit." And I wonder if many people in the church might give the same answer, because the Holy Spirit is rarely talked about in a lot of churches. And yet, in Acts 2, when Peter was preaching to the crowd at Pentecost, he said this. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so what this shows is that for early Christians, salvation didn't just mean the forgiveness of sins. It didn't just mean that our sins would be taken care of, but it meant the gift of the Holy Spirit would be given to us. In other words, God's living presence will be in our lives. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus said that God is spirit. And so that must mean that whatever God does in this world and in our lives must be by His Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit plays an absolutely, absolutely central role in the sense that everything that He does, God does, in our lives is by His Holy Spirit. And so that's why I'm spending these weeks discussing the works of the Holy Spirit. Now today, I want to explain what Paul meant by being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I think this passage teaches us that it could mean three things. It could mean that a new power comes into our lives. It could mean that our life takes on a new direction. And it could mean that a new motivation for living is given to us. So a new power, a new direction, and a new motivation. Okay, so first, it could mean that a new power comes into our lives. Now, why does Paul compare being filled with the Holy Spirit to being drunk with wine? Well, it could be, I mean, it's possible, I suppose, that Paul was dealing with Christians who had drinking problems. What we know, what scholars teach us, is that a lot of the Christians who became converted came out of paganism. And pagans were not exactly known for living a virtuous lifestyle, if you know what I mean, right? They were known for a debauched lifestyle, a lifestyle of drunkenness and sexual immorality. And it could be that Paul was merely telling them, stop living that way, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. But another explanation, just as likely, and maybe even more probable, is that Paul uses the analogy of drunkenness to explain what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying that they're similar in some way. I mean, think about what happens when we drink. What happens to us when we drink? Well, the alcohol goes to our head, and it starts to control us, right? Control our judgments, control our decisions, our actions, our behaviors. And Paul must be saying that something like that could happen to us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, why would he compare being filled with the Holy Spirit to being drunk? And yet, there's a fundamental difference. Because why else would he differentiate between the two and says, don't be drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because there's a fundamental difference. And what we know about alcohol is that alcohol is a depressant. It depresses the central nervous system. It makes us feel numb. It puts us to sleep. It makes us forget. But the Holy Spirit does the opposite. It doesn't put us to sleep. It makes us spiritually alive, spiritually awake. And it doesn't make us forget, it makes us remember. Like Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will help you, he will remind you of everything that I have taught you. Alcohol incapacitates, but the Holy Spirit empowers. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do work that God has called us to do. Sometimes extraordinary work. Do you know the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned to be filled, to have filled a person in the Old Testament? The first time, the first mention of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was in Ezekiel 31. God filled a certain craftsman named Bezalel with the Holy Spirit to give him the intelligence and the craftsmanship that he needed in order to build the temple, in order to build the tabernacle, I mean. Interesting, isn't it? The first mention of anybody being filled with the Holy Spirit is not to preach God's word, but to do works of craftsmanship. The first time that a person is described to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is in Luke 1. God filled John the Baptist with the Holy Spirit to carry out his mission of being God's messenger and herald of Jesus' arrival. So, sometimes it's extraordinary work that God calls us to do, and he fills us with the Holy Spirit in order to do that work. But most of the time, it's just ordinary work. A living the ordinary Christian life. Sometimes he fills extraordinary people to do extraordinary tasks. But most of the time, he fills ordinary people to do ordinary tasks of serving other people, loving other people, being obedient to the will of God, living a life free from sin. You know, this is extraordinary good news. I don't know if you understand how great this news is. This is extraordinary good news, especially for those who feel weak, especially for those who are struggling, especially for those who have bad habits and bad attitudes. And these bad habits and bad attitudes have sunk their claws into us and won't let us go. We can't shake some of these attitudes and habits that we have. They're addictions. We know that we should be better. We know that we should be different. But we can't be different, it seems. And yet this is teaching us that we don't have to be resigned to living that way, to being that way for the rest of our lives. That in fact we can be freed from it. How? How can we be free? By having a greater power come into our lives. And kicking out that old power. Having a new power come into our lives and expelling that old power and setting us free from it. That's how. If you feel that God is calling you to do something or be something and you're wondering, how can I do that or how can I be that? I don't have the strength to do that. I don't have the strength to be that. There's good news and bad news. The bad news is, you're right, you don't have the strength to do that or be that. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit can fill you with a joy and the strength that you need to do that and be that. so that you experience greater and greater sense of freedom in your life. Now, I'm not saying that this happens automatically, that God somehow zaps us with the Holy Spirit and suddenly we experience freedom forever. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it happens overnight. It takes years sometimes. I mean, think about it. It took years for you to become that way. It might take years for you to be a different way. But as you listen to the Holy Spirit, as you are led by the Holy Spirit, you can experience a greater and greater sense of freedom. That's what the promise is. So how important is it then for us to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives? Not just for, not necessarily to do extraordinary things, but to just live the normal, joyful, obedient Christian life. It is absolutely, absolutely necessary. And by the way, I'll just add this before I move on to the next point. The Spirit empowers us, but the Spirit is not a power. The Spirit is a person. If you look at the New Testament Greek, the pronoun the New Testament writers use is not it. The pronoun the New Testament writers use is he or him or his. It's interesting because in Greek grammar, spirit is a neuter noun. And the pronoun that you use for neuter nouns are it. But instead of it, New Testament writers use he. It's like me saying, I bought a chair at IKEA, but I plan to return him. They intentionally just twist the grammar to communicate this point that the Holy Spirit is not a power, but is a person. Though he empowers us, he is a person. And as a person, he can speak to us. And he can lead us. And that takes me to my second point. My second point is that when we become filled with the Holy Spirit, he takes us in a new direction. He leads us on an adventure of faith. Much like the adventure that Abraham was led on when he received the call of God, when he heard God's call to leave his home and his family and his homeland and go to the land that God would show him later. And so when we're led by the Holy Spirit, we don't see all, you know, we don't have a vision of our long-term future, but we are led step by step by step. Now, is this the direction that most people take their lives? No. I mean, most people, they take a different direction. The direction they take is, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. And this is a problem not only for non-Christian, non-believers, but it's a problem for believers as well. Because many people, many believers in church, they pray like this. God, help me accomplish my plans. Make my plans work out. Help me to do the things that I have determined is right for me. As if you have all of the wisdom that you need to run your own life. And you know exactly how your life should work out. No, you don't. See, a Holy Spirit-filled person is led by the Holy Spirit, rather than his own plans, his own ideas about how things should work out. Do you know what Paul calls that kind of life, that way of life, of living according to your own plans, your own ideas? He calls it foolish. The world calls it smart, but he calls it foolish in verse 17. Do you know why he calls it foolish? Because this is the Bible's definition of a fool. A fool, according to the book of Proverbs, is somebody who thinks that he's got it all figured out and he doesn't need to listen to anyone. He's got it all figured out in his head. So the phrase that the book of Proverbs uses over and over again to describe a fool, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. A fool is wise in his own eyes. And so a fool lacks the humility to think, maybe I don't have all the wisdom that I need in this world. Maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I should listen to other people. Maybe I need a community. Maybe I need to listen to God. Maybe I should seek wisdom from God. Maybe I shouldn't direct my own life, but maybe I should live a life that's directed by God. You know what Paul says in verse 17? Look at verse 17. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And just to unpack this a little bit, okay? Understanding what the will of the Lord is involves understanding Scripture. Because the will of the Lord that Paul is talking about here is not personal spiritual guidance, like who should I marry? Or what kind of job should I get after I graduate from university? That's not the will of God that Paul is talking about. But the will of God that Paul is talking about here is the will revealed to us in Scripture. The will already made known in the Bible. And our job is to lay a hold of it and to try to understand it and try to live according to it. And so a spirit-filled person is not only empowered, is not only led by the Spirit, but he also has the Word of God richly dwelling in him, to use the language of Paul in Colossians. He understands what the will of the Lord is because he's marinating in the Word and meditating upon the Word. He's soaking it in. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just going back to the idea that a spirit-filled person is led by the Spirit rather than his own ideas. You know, it's always good to remember that the Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit because he is holy. And holy is not just part of the name that we use to refer to the third person of the Trinity. Holy is an adjective that describes who he is. Let's not make the mistake of thinking that holy means sanctimonious. In the Bible, holy has a basic idea of belonging to God. Holy is defined in Scripture as being set apart and being dedicated to God. So in the Old Testament, holy did not only describe God, but all of the pots and pans and instruments that were used in temple worship, because these pots and pans were set apart for temple worship, set apart for God. And this tells us something very, very important about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That it doesn't just mean that we have spiritual experiences, though we do have spiritual experiences. That it doesn't just mean that we are spiritually empowered or spiritually gifted, though we are spiritually empowered and gifted. But the main work of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy. To make us dedicated to Christ so that he begins to shape every aspect of our lives and our hearts so that every part of our lives comes under his authority and his lordship. So that our whole life begins to revolve around him. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. That's probably his main work. He makes us more and more Christ-like in our attitudes and in our behaviors. Is this the way that most people live? No. I mean, most people, they live however they want. I mean, to use the language of the book of Judges, most people do whatever is right in their own eyes. according to their own plans. But we must not do that. You know, a phrase that I hear a lot these days is, you only live once. YOLO! You only live once. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to go to Asia, discover myself, travel around, have new experiences. You only live once. I'm going to leave my unhappy marriage. I'm going to leave my spouse because you only live once. And people use it to justify their reckless and selfish choices. But that's not the right attitude to have. And that's not what the Bible teaches us about the time that we have in our life. What the Bible teaches us about the time that we have is that time is short. But not because we only live once, but because this present evil age is passing away and a new age is coming. And therefore, it is incumbent upon us that we do what Paul tells us to do in verse 16, that we use every passing moment of our lives, not for selfish living, but to do what honors God. We should use every opportunity that we have to help others, to serve others, and to maximize our impact for the kingdom of God and to live lives that are pleasing to Him. That's how we should live. Listen to me. The lifestyle that most people want, a lifestyle devoted to leisure, is not the will of God for you. But instead, the will of God for you is for you to make the best use of your time for the sake of the kingdom of God. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit. See, the idea that most people have about their time is that most people think that their time is running out. So we got to make the most of it. While we have it, we got to make the most of it. So maximize pleasure, maximize fun, maximize comfort, maximize wealth, maximize your life. While you have it, before your time is up, maximize. But what the Bible teaches us about the time that we have is that our life has been given to us for a purpose. And after we have fulfilled the purpose that God has given us, our life will be gathered into eternity. And we will be judged for how we have lived. And therefore, we must make the most of our time, not to live for our own purpose, but to live for God's purpose. And that's why it is important for us to understand that we need to live not for our selfish ends, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. Paul tells us in chapter 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And when we examine the surrounding verses, he explains that we grieve the Spirit of God when we engage in bad speech, gossip, slander, and when we engage in bad attitudes, resentment, bitterness, anger, and when we refuse to forgive the people who have hurt us, when we do those things, we are like the son who disobeys his father and who grieves his father. But we must not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But instead of grieving the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me explain to you what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think this is a central idea of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 19, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, and giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these verses indicate that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we live with a new motivation. I think it's generally true that why we should do things as believers is because of thanksgiving to God for everything that He has done for us. Not just sometimes for some things, but always for everything. Am I talking about having a positive attitude, keeping optimistic, keeping a positive outlook, maintaining a positive attitude towards life so that you don't get too let down about anything, but instead you just keep up? Am I talking about that? No, I'm talking about having faith. A lot of people misunderstand faith as agreeing with certain doctrines, giving assent to a certain set of beliefs. But I'm talking about the faith that comes from hearing the gospel and receiving it as the word of God and allowing it to bring conviction into our lives that makes us dedicated to God and that fills us with thanksgiving always and for everything. That's what faith is. When we have faith, we are actually full of thanksgiving. Do you know how rare it is in our society to live lives with of thanksgiving to God? So rare. But it is the quintessential Christian attitude to have. It is the central mark of a spirit-filled person. Because it involves understanding that everything that we have received, we didn't deserve. And that's what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches that we are sinners, yet we are dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus. And when we believe the gospel, we are filled with thanksgiving to God for everything that He has done for us. You know, this concerns the question that all of us are concerned with, and that is, how do I live a full life? How do I live a full life? Do I live a full life by rising to the challenge and making something of myself according to my definition of success? And living the way that I want and not letting anyone tell me how to live? But for believers, fullness comes from devotion, prayer, self-giving, faith. How easy it is to think that fullness comes from a life devoted to leisure, a life of buying nice things and taking nice vacations. Not that I have anything against leisure or buying things or taking vacations. I do not have anything against that. But it's just that I do not believe that that's where fullness comes from. And I don't believe that that's where the Bible teaches fullness comes from. How easy it is to think that that is where fullness comes from, particularly because the first time that we bought something really nice, or the first time that we took a really nice overseas vacation, it was so thrilling to us, wasn't it? But how about the second time? How about the third time? How about the 10th time? How about the 20th time? What used to thrill us hardly thrills us any longer. But the Bible teaches us that there's a different source of fullness, the fullness that comes from being filled with God through the Holy Spirit. And this isn't just a one-time filling either. Please do not think that, oh, I asked God into my life and my life doesn't feel full. Because this is not a one-time filling. This is a continual filling. We're like a well that continually runs dry, that needs to be continually filled. But the Holy Spirit is a deep underwater reservoir of refreshment that continually fills us if we listen to Him as we are led by Him. Jesus said that He came to give us life and life to the full. And He wasn't talking about biological life. He wasn't talking about what makes us alive. He was talking about eternal life of knowing God and living in His presence. You know, we had that life before. I mean, humanity did. We used to live in His presence, but we lost it through sin. But Jesus Christ came to restore that life through His death on the cross. And on the cross, it was as if a great exchange took place. Jesus took the judgment for our sins that we deserve. And we have received the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can live in God's presence again. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that mediates God's presence in our lives. He's also the Spirit of power who empowers us to do the things that God has called us to do. He is the Spirit who leads us, who guides us on an adventure of faith. And He is the Spirit who fills our hearts with thanksgiving. Let us be led by Him. Let us be filled by Him so that we can experience His power. We can experience being led, and we can experience a life full of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Our Father, I thank You for the great gift of Yourself, because that is indeed what You have given us through Christ. You have given us Yourself. And You have promised that You will come into our lives and You will reshape us, You will remake us, and You will empower us. I pray, O God, that we will have a greater and greater sense of Your presence and of Your power and of Your influence over us. May it lead us to live joyful, thankful, obedient Christian lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.